Why is it some of us fly a better 360 turn to the left while others ace the right side turn? And why do some of us prefer a right crosswind on landing while others do better with one from the left? In this example from Belvoir's Pilot Audio Update, Paul Burge argues that it has everything to do with seating posture. For more on subscribing to Pilot's Audio Update, log on to www.belvoir.com and click on the Aviation Division logo.
Hello, everyone. This is Dick Taylor with the Pilot's Audio Update for March 2007. One of my favorite flying photographs is that of several seagulls flying toward the camera, all of them in a steep left turn. The first time I saw this picture, I noticed every single one of the gulls had their eyes level with the horizon. They were leaning away from the turn. I realized they were doing what they are always doing, looking for something to eat. But humans do better when they sit upright in an airplane. Here's Paul Burge with Relax and Fly Right, and I think you'll agree, leaning is for the birds.
After 30-some years of flying, I've realized that I prefer a left crosswind on landing and a right crosswind on takeoff. The right crosswind on takeoff makes sense when you think about the wind hitting the right side of the vertical stabilizer and pushing the tail to the left, causing the nose to yaw to the right. This right-turning aid counteracts the single engine's many left-turning tendencies. The single-engine pilot normally adds a bit of right rudder on takeoff roll, and a right crosswind helps keep the nose pointed down the runway. So why do I prefer a left crosswind on landing? Mostly I fly tailwheel airplanes and I usually wheel land rather than full stall, conditions permitting. And I always feel more comfortable touching on the left main instead of the right, even in a tricycle-geared airplane. In fact, with quite a bit of flight time, I still find myself pre-planning a right crosswind landing more than I do for a left crosswind approach. One comes naturally, the other does not. The airplane doesn't care where the wind is, it simply flies the way nature and Mr. Bernoulli intended. Finally, after years of this internal split-brain conflict, I asked a psychologist friend who happens to be a flight instructor why I can't fly equally well to the right as to the left. He works as a part-time bartender, so it makes him a little more approachable. His answer? You're nuts. Now go away and stop bothering me. I think what he meant to say was that any rational pilot should be able to make an airplane go exactly where it needs to go and not be the least bit anxious when landing with a right or left crosswind or no wind at all. Problem is, pilots aren't rational, at least not the ones I like to hang around with. We're dreamers and hopeless romantics who came to aviation because we love the sky and don't mind scrubbing grease off an old airplane's belly on a warm summer afternoon. In short, we're not always rational, thank goodness. And not being rational means we don't always rationally analyze a situation and with engineered precision apply the correct solution. And that's why I like to teach flying from the back seat of tandem seat airplanes, such as a Champ, Husky, or a Citabria, instead of sitting shoulder to shoulder with the student. Picture the airplane cockpit, a Cessna 150, 172, or a Cherokee of any size, puts the instructor beside the student like two people in a crowded movie theater. They both watch the same screen with the same images, only from slightly differing angles. For instrument training, this side-by-side teacher-student arrangement works fine. The student flies, the instructor can see the panel, and occasionally taps on the instruments as the student valiantly chases needles down the glide slope. When the instructor senses that the student's deodorant has burned off, it's time to land. During the entire flight, the instructor never looks at the student. By sitting behind a student in a tandem airplane, I've discovered that one secret to smooth airmanship is found in your posture, how you sit in the airplane. I don't care how well a pilot can program a Garmin 530 or swap data between the PFD and the MFD, that's technical stuff. Flying is the movement of your body through the sky inside a box with wings and a motor. When you get into an airplane parked on the ramp, you exert one force of gravity, one G. Gravity pulls you into the seat with the same effort it would apply to a lump of mashed potatoes. In flight, other dynamics take over. Thrust forces air over the wings, creating lift that liberates you from the planet's gravitational pull. Unfortunately, once airborne, we still try to align ourselves with the Earth's horizon the way our ancestors have done for millennia. In instrument flight, we watch an artificial horizon because clouds obscure the real one. In VFR, we tell the student to establish a bank and to watch the horizon cut through the airplane's nose, forming exact angles that satisfy our logical lesson plans. We force the airplane to conform to our relationship to the Earth's horizon, and in the process, prevent ourselves from feeling what the airplane wants. Coordinated flight. Flight is not a logical pursuit. People shouldn't just leave the planet. They didn't for tens of thousands of years until two bicycle makers from Ohio said it was possible. And to operate in this unworldly place, we need to shed some of our earthbound reactions. I remember in the fifth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Belladonna, must have been a pilot because she was always shouting at me, "Straighten up and fly right, mister." I'd sit up in my seat and pretend to pay attention. Today, as I sit behind students, I watch their body posture. From the back seat of a small airplane, there's not much else to see. As student pilots unfamiliar with an airplane attempt a banking maneuver, the tendency is to lean away from the turn, as though gravity will suck them from the airplane and send them hurtling toward Earth. When performing slow flight and stalls, I watch the stick come back, and as the nose rises to what the student perceives to be uncomfortably high angles of attack, I watch the student lean forward. The stick no longer moves back, but instead, by leaning forward, the student thinks she's pulling the stick or yoke back and approaching the stall. In crosswind landings, I tell a student to keep the nose straight with rudder and apply opposite aileron into the wind. But instead of applying the proper amount of aileron and opposite rudder, as well as back pressure on the stick for the flare, I watch the front seat pilots twist their bodies in all sorts of defensive postures against the forces of flight, as though willing the airplane to fly straight instead of adjusting the controls so it does. These leans and twists are subconscious. Each student can logically explain on the ground how a maneuver should be performed, but in the sky, inside an unfamiliar machine, we humans strain to keep our bodies aligned with the earth below instead of with the flying machine. In other words, the pilot needs to straighten up and fly right with the aircraft and not with the 6 billion non-pilots below. To fly an airplane correctly, you must know where the airplane is. I don't mean simply finding it on the ramp, but find how your body and all its sensors, eyes, ears, skin, muscles, all align with the wings, fuselage, nose, tail, and landing gear. I tell my students that the airplane already knows how to fly. You won't teach it a thing. The pilot, however, needs to become a part of that flying machine. By teaching from the rear seat, I can quickly point out how a student is fighting the airplane. As we bank into a steep turn, I watch for the student leaning away from the turn. Usually, a simple suggestion to relax tells the front seat pilot to recenter himself in the seat, to align with rather than struggle against the forces acting on the airplane. If the relax command doesn't quite get the message across, I'll reach forward and gently press a shoulder until the pilot leans back to the center of the seat. Once centered, flying is easy, natural. Many students struggle through the math of finding the airplane's center of gravity. I know I do. But the trick is to figure how to relate your body to that balancing act. In VFR maneuvering, you not only have to relax your body and feel what the airplane is telling you, but also you need to expand your peripheral vision to see how the world around the airplane is moving. Instruments convey data such as airspeed, heading, and altitude. Instrument flight is mostly about interpreting data and applying the correct input to make a result, say to descend for the ILS or turn to a new heading while holding altitude. But once you break out of the clouds, you need to resort to basic VFR flying skills and land the airplane. Or on a circling approach, you need to fly coordinated around a pattern at low altitude without stalling and then land in a crosswind on a slick runway. For that, you need to be centered in the airplane, feeling its every need and aware of the surrounding environment. You need to sense how the aircraft moves about its center of gravity. You need to wear the airplane like a familiar suit. Common problems arise in straight and level flight or in straight ahead climbs. Pilots often fly with one wing lower than the other. When flying an airplane with a yoke instead of a stick, it's often the left wing that's low because the left hand is dragging the left side of the yoke down. A regular scan of the airspace around the airplane from wingtip to wingtip would spot that problem and raise the lowered wing. It also helps you look for traffic. But too often, pilots stare straight ahead. In the clouds, that makes sense. The instrument panel is the only picture. In VFR, however, staring ahead means you're only sampling a small portion of the sky. And as the wing drops, the pilot sees the heading change and may subconsciously press the opposite rudder to hold course. Now we're flying in a slip instead of straight and level. Pilots who aren't relaxed in the cockpit tire easily from trying to make the airplane conform to their view instead of letting the airplane fly and merely telling it where to go. Most airplanes will fly beautifully without us and will always tell us what they need, provided we're willing to listen. I fly a lot of open cockpit, and any change in sound from the engine or the hum of the wind through the wires tells me that something is different, and it's usually caused by me, forcing the airplane to fly unnaturally. I'm a slow learner, but over the years I've learned a lot from students and airplanes, and one day maybe I'll learn why I prefer left crosswind landings to right. My airplane says not to worry, it's just a human frailty. And if I just relax, the airplane will teach me how to handle it.